Hello, you're listening to Pixel Pixel, where the X is silent, but our love for weird tech most definitely isn't. This is episode 119. I'm one of your hosts, Anne, and with me as always is my friend, turn lover, and co-host, Marcus. Hello, Marcus. Happy 2026.
Hello, happy 2026.
It's our first episode of the new year, though we're well into the new year. How long do you think you can say Happy New Year? I always wonder.
A week.
A week? Okay, so we can't say Happy New Year anymore. Sorry, everyone. But we are recording in our lovely kitchen today. I just like commenting on this because we have the new mics. I mean, they're not that new anymore, I guess. But, you know, we get every day we sit down to record, I'm like, oh, where will we do it today? Today we're in the kitchen. We've been doing some New Year's cleaning, which is kind of a traditional Japanese thing. I'm sure other cultures do this as well, but it's very common in Japan for families to do, like, rather than a big spring clean, a big end of the year, New Year's clean. So you want to get everything in order, spick and span for the new year. I would say we didn't completely do that because we're still working on it, but we've done a bunch of cleaning and organizing in the past couple of weeks, and it's been good, hey?
Yeah, I like it. It feels good to get things in order, clean up the office, so on.
Yeah. You know? Especially some of your stuff. I've literally never seen you organize some of it since I moved in. So it's fun to see you change things up. Particularly, you have this giant Titanic replica Lego set that's been living in a certain spot in two pieces because we didn't have a spot big enough to put it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did you get that? Do you remember? Like when it came out,
COVID.
Right? Yeah, I remember. I was in Australia and you told me about lugging this giant box back to your car.
Mm-hmm.
So you put that together over the course of months, right?
Yeah.
And then have it sitting in pieces, but we finally cleaned up a spot to put it and you've got it all set up.
Yeah.
Looking
finally.
Majestic.
Yeah, it's really big when you look at it.
It really is. I can't believe. Do you think that's the biggest Lego set they've done?
I don't know. There's a lot of big sets.
Okay.
It's pretty long, though.
I can't imagine a set
Maybe
bigger
one
than
of,
that.
Maybe one of the longer sets.
Yeah.
It's at least 3 feet long. What would you say,
I would say it's probably going on 4 feet, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's a long boy. And we also went through some of our books, put out our favorites, got a nice little bookshelf going, and yeah, it's good. So New Year's cleaning, highly recommend. And then I was thinking, we talked a lot about the ARG stuff, particularly the, now I can't remember the name of it.
Adventure
geocaching.
Lab? Oh, well, geocaching.
I was thinking generally is geocaching, and then yeah, Adventure Lab last episode. And I was kind of reflecting, you know, we have our show notes before we get started. And we put down everything that we've done that we want to talk about. And I was like, wait, did we end up doing Adventure Lab? Did we talk about it? But the issue's been, it's been so rainy here in Southern California. It's been raining so much. It rained on Christmas. It rained on New Year's. But we did manage to get one little pocket of somewhat clear weather over the past couple weeks. And we did one Adventure Lab. So I'm going to tell the folks at home about the Adventure Lab experience.
Yes, but before then, I did check the Titanic.
Oh,
it's a little over 4 feet long.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I was more right.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for confirming for everyone. That's long. 4 feet, that's like bigger than a child.
Sure.
Or a child. That's our child. It's the Titanic.
The Titanic. Okay, so yeah, about the Adventure Lab. That's one of the things that the geocache company, I don't know, has, where you can, instead of just seeking a single geocache, you are kind of doing, in a specific area, a group of them, and they all tie together in some way. So for ours, there were like 5 points of interest to go to, and when you did go to them, it would ask you like a question about the point, and then you would write in the answer, and if it was correct, you'd be able to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
You could do them in any order, but you need to answer all of the questions, and the questions kind of necessitate you being there in person.
Yeah, I feel like most of them did. I kind of forget now. It's been a hot minute.
But well, they like ask questions about the signage or things in the area.
Right.
So we did that. And then when you, in this case, we got them all. So it's like, great, you did it. But this one also had like an extra thing where I don't remember exactly, but there was like an extra
like
bonus
a secret
thing.
Cash.
Yeah. So we had to figure the location, which we did get.
Yeah, so the location itself was like a bit of a riddle. It wasn't like the other ones were literally just, here's the point on the map, you go here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The last location was a riddle, but we did it, and you had to do all the rest to get to that point. And in theory, there would have been something there for us, but there was a man sitting on a bench right there, so...
And we're shy, so we didn't poke around where he was sitting, but we think it was right near him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we pretend that we got that one.
We can always go back in that spot and look.
Luckily, it was very close to home. Well, you know, 10-minute drive or something. So it is one that's near us. We brought Pie Pie. We made a whole walk out of it. And we can check it out next time we're over that way.
Yep.
See if someone's sitting there or not.
Yep.
So what did you think overall? You like it? You want to do it again?
I think it's fun. And I would like to try other ones in the area to see, because it seems like some of them they give, apparently some of them are more tour guide-y, which I think is cute, rather than this one is kind of just very bare bones.
Yeah, and this one was in a park, so it was like points of interest in the park that you might want to, like, it did take us to at least one like statue, but yeah, other things were just like going to a spot in the park. So I thought it was fun to have a, it's almost like having a walking route preset for you, because you know we go to this park with the dog relatively often and you just kind of wander around, but here's a fun extra thing you can do. And so then it, you know, maybe made it a slightly longer walk than usual because we had a goal in mind. So it's a fun way to have something to do to encourage you to get out there a bit more. But yeah, the tour guidey ones seem fun too, because then you literally seeing places that you maybe don't know anything about and learning about them and learning the history of an area. It seemed like there were a lot of like historical tour type things of certain areas. So that's fun. I like that. I like the just very grassroots nature of it, that people are just like, I want to make this little thing and share it with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun little game with strangers.
Yeah.
And then we were reading about how in the caches, like people leave little gifts, right? I think that's so cute. And there are like certain types of things. People really like handmade things, right?
Yes.
You were reading. And so people put like little trinkets in a cache when they find it. So we're going to stock up on our trinkets the next time we cache, which it's been a while. Finally, it's sunny again, but it was so wet for a while there. It was not good weather for it. So we got into it at like the worst time seasonally.
Yeah.
But now we can, and then we'll see what we can find. So yeah, the Adventure Lab was pretty fun. I recommend it to folks looking for something to do in their area. I expect... You know, most relatively urban places in 2026 should have some kind of caches or something going on,
I would think,
right?
So, yes.
Yeah. And next up, thanks to friends of the show, Bunny Cartoon and Midi, who posted about this in the Chick Pixel Pals Discord. I was reminded about the Kura Sushi. It's a Kaiten Sushi chain. They were having a Kirby collab, I think it's still going on, but they did a Kirby collab starting in December, and Bunny Cartoon and Midi went and posted photos, and it looked so fun. And I don't know, did you remember this? I totally forgot about it until they posted about it. I was like, oh shoot, we gotta go.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, so good thing they shared it, because I would have forgotten. But we were like, okay, we gotta go check it out, and we did. They were unfortunately out of the, what was there, like
the
a
cups.
Cup set that if you spent a certain amount of money you would get it. But if you ate so many plates, you would get like the gachapon. That is like a Kura Sushi thing. They have a gacha machine, and whenever you put the plate in for it to count towards your whatever goal of 15 plates or something,
it
counts them. And then after 15, it'll spit out a gachapon. And the theme right now being Kirby, they said it gives you Kirby goods. So we got a cute little, it's like a Kirby cable tie, cable organizer thing. Very cute. I mean, it's just a little extra bonus. you were eating the sushi anyway, right? So, mm-hmm. And they had two themed rolls, the Kirby Dreamy Crunch Roll, which had this funny pink sauce on it after Kirby, and then the Waddle Dee Feisty Feast Roll. And that one had kind of like an orangey sauce. So they mm-hmm. were clearly trying to represent the characters. So that was a fun thing. And they had some decorations and even Kirby themed covers over the plates of sushi that come by. So we tried both rolls. And Marcus, I'll let you share the verdict on those.
Okay. Well, in general, I really don't like mayo. So I did not like the Kirby Dreamy Crunch Roll because the pink sauce was like very mayo-y. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't a fan of that one. The Waddle Dee one was not bad.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. Both of them felt sweet. Like yes. It maybe was aimed at kids. The Kirby one I thought as well was very mayo-y and also too sweet. So I didn't love that one. I think the Waddle Dee one was fun. So I would order that one again, but Kirby, sorry. Even though I like pink, but I don't know, there are many pink savory foods. Sweet foods, obviously, fine for pink, but I can't think of any other pink savory items that I like. So, yes, if you do go, I would recommend the Waddle Dee roll over the Kirby roll. But it was fun, and of course we had other good sushi. They always have good sushi there at Kura, mm-hmm. and it was a fun thing to do.
What was that random thing that we liked?
The random
gooey
thing.
Gooey butter cake or
oh,
something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the dessert. That was good.
Nothing to do with Kirby, just it was good.
Yeah, it was a dessert cake. I think it was something like that, gooey butter cake or, yeah. I never had something like it before, but it's just like a thick, sweet cake. Mm-hmm. So good you got to.
Yep.
And as for things back inside the home, tech-related, as I alluded to in our intro, you've been busy, as always, with self-hosted things, so you gotta let everybody know about your self-hosted updates in self-hosted, Marcus's self-hosted central.
Okay.
I just came up with that right now. That's your new segment.
Okay, sure.
Take it away.
Okay, so I got this tablet, this Android tablet from work like many years ago. Maybe during COVID as well. I don't remember. But either way, I've just been having it. I don't super use, like it's not a giant tablet. It's pretty small, maybe 6-7 inches. I'm not sure. But it's not like my favorite thing. I usually use a laptop or if I really want to use a tablet, I use your really big tablet because it's way nicer. So I don't really have a use for a little tablet. And I have an ebook reader, you know, so it's like I have this tablet, but no real purpose. And I've just had it sitting around collecting dust for years now. And then I don't remember the specifics I was telling you, but for whatever reason, I got in my mind that I could use the tablet to show something like just for the home, like a calendar and weather.
I don't remember why you I think we probably even mentioned this on, we definitely talked about the weather thing you wanted to do way ages ago on the podcast, but then we were out at dinner and you saw some other, like had a tablet interface with the weather and something on it and you were like, aha, that's what I want to do, right? That's
yeah,
what happened.
That's why it brought it back to my mind, I think. Yeah.
Months later, yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, you can have like a little tablet in your home that's just on the wall and can just give you information or whatever. Mm-hmm. Why not?
I mean, it's basically like our Google Home.
Yes, we have Google Home, which is like a tablet in your house, but it's restricted to Google's Google Home interface. Not like you can do custom things with it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, this is like custom. So there's two things on it now. One is the retro weather app
channel that
is very fun. It's cute looking. It like shows real weather for the area and it has nice like retro music that plays, although you could turn that off and we probably will when we get tired of it. Uh-huh. But for now it's cute. And then in addition, there's another thing, which is basically if anyone has ever gotten into the world of Raspberry Pi projects, the Magic Mirror project is very famous. It's because it looks cool, I guess, where people would use a Raspberry Pi, a display, and a certain type of mirror that they could project the screen through to be able to show text on the screen of the of your mirror, basically. And it would be like just whatever you really wanted, RSS feeds, news, weather, other information could be displayed when you look at your mirror. So it was cool. I'm not doing that project, but I use the Magic Mirror, basically project the code to have a self-hosted website that shows the information we want for our tablet, which primarily is our different Google calendars all together in one thing so we can see what each other is doing. And then also they're in different colors. It's nice, it's cute, relatively straightforward, but it's just nice. You know, we have real calendars around the house too, but we're not filling in literally every single thing we're doing or like all the meetings, right, for work and stuff. So this is kind of like more accurate and just kind of can look at it in the morning or look at it whenever we're in the kitchen. We haven't put it on the wall yet, but we just got a cable long enough to be able to do so, to keep the tablet plugged in. So we'll probably do that later.
And you have a mount for it, right?
Yes.
To sit on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be very cool. I'm excited. It's I was saying to you the other day, it'll be fun to have people come into our home and see our weird retro weather station channel on the wall. I just think that's very funny. People will be like, what the heck is that?
Yes.
Yes, good. That's what I want. I want people to come into my home and say, what the heck is going on in here? But positively. Complimentary.
Yes.
Uh-huh, yeah. So that's one thing you did. And then you also did something kind of, not just for me, but something to help me out with my workflow for freelance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think first you should explain what your workflow was.
Oh, okay.
for translating Japanese
text
content.
Yeah, so for video games, obviously, or maybe not so obviously, but I feel like I mentioned it before, you often get Excel documents, which, you know, that has editable text in it. And sometimes, you know, you find a word or a kanji that you're not familiar with. And particularly with kanji, since it can be a pain to look up if you don't know the reading, I like to copy and paste the kanji into my, you know, dictionary of choice so I can get the reading for it. And if it's in Excel, very easy to do. But lately in my freelance jobs, I've been getting a lot of books that are in PDF form. Can't easily copy and paste a PDF. Maybe there are some. I think we saw that Adobe Acrobat, not the free version, the paid version will convert to text, but I don't want to pay Adobe any money anymore. I've canceled all that stuff ages ago. So what I was doing, and someone can tell me if this is dumb, but it's okay because I'm not doing it anymore. So this is probably a dumb method, but what was working for me is that I have Google Translate with the lens, you know, on your phone. I think maybe not all phones come with it, but you can download Translate app very easily. And with the camera reader, it will convert to text. So you can obviously take a photo in the camera of the Translate app and it will show you the translated text, but you can also show the original text. And so I just have it on original and then it shows the text for me to be able to highlight the kanji that I'm having trouble reading or whatever. And then I can copy paste that kanji. But I'm doing that from my phone. And then when you copy from at least the Android phone, there is an option to copy to computer. So I would copy it to my laptop and then use it as I needed in the dictionary, what have you. And that did take some time. Luckily, you know, I don't have to do it for literally every word or anything like that. But especially if like you wanted to read something, it would also be kind of tedious for you if you were trying, you know, as a learner. So I think the program that you set up is probably mostly intended for language learners, but it's very helpful for someone like me who's getting PDF text that you can't edit and you want to quickly look something up. So you found this cool workaround for me that has certainly helped me do that faster, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Because while you were doing this, I had stumbled upon some article about the best Japanese learning tool software in 2025. And I saw that post and was like, this is awesome, because it tells you about how you can learn to read Japanese or how to help in your learning path for reading manga, reading video games, watching anime, all of these different forms of media, and all the things you can use to help you with that. But this article was crazy long, and I didn't know anything about anything, so I like read it many times. And then I think you told me, or I asked you about how you were doing your work, or you showed me what you were doing. And I was like, that seems like a lot, and it appears there's ways that are better, you know? So I'm gonna try to see if I can get something together for you. And unfortunately, it seems like it's just a, something I've never looked into specifically before, so everything was like alien to me. And it has nothing to do with me not understanding Japanese. It's just like everything was written in English. It's just like all the instructions were like, they didn't explain when they used like weird terms or things. I'm like, what is going on? So it took me a long time. I mean, it was just a couple hours, but it took me a long time to like really read through and try to figure out like what am I doing? What do I need? Because there were some tools where people were like, here, you just download this one EXE and it does a lot of it for you. But I'm like, but what is it? Anyway, and also I want to self-host it. I don't want to download a program to my computer, because then that means every computer that wants to use it, you'd have to download the program and set it up. I just want it self-hosted on my server, and it's accessible to us all in the home, you and me, us all. I
don't know. All of us.
Anyway, so what I eventually settled on is that you need a couple of things for this to work. You need basically something that will hold your manga and let you read it in your browser. You need some tool that will take the manga, in this case, or whatever
book or whatever,
yes,
right?
That's in a PDF format, and that will use optical character recognition or OCR to take that text and turn it into like actual text rather than kind of the image. And then finally you need something that you can then, you know, you can copy paste that to something, some dictionary. So what I used specifically was Suwayomi Server, which is a tool for primarily made for reading manga, although I guess you could probably put other books in there too, light novels and some such. But it's a tool that once you install the server, you can upload your local PDF files or JPEGs, whatever, and have them there, and then you can kind of flip through the pages of those texts on the website. So it's all browser-based. You don't have to download a file per se. You just go to the website and click to the file and read it. And then there was the OCR server, which is Mangaton, although apparently that also does other or is used with other things, but Mangaton itself is just an OCR server. And so when you have that there, it can then process on the web page the text of the PDF or the JPEG or whatever, and convert it into text. And then finally, once you've got that all hooked up and connected to each other, you can use some sort of browser extension, Yomiwa. Is that it? That one that you use?
You know, I think I use Rikai-chan or Rikai-kun. One of those. Yeah, I use Rikai-kun. So there's like, I think Yomiwa, Yomi-chan, and then Rikai-chan, Rikai-kun are kind of the two big ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but since it's all in the browser, if you have one of those extensions enabled, now that you have the OCR'd text of Japanese, you can hover over your characters and then it can pop up in the window of the manga.
With the reading.
A dictionary definition, or of course you could just copy and paste the text if you want to look somewhere more deeply about it. But in that scenario, it's much simpler. You just open the manga on the website. The text is there for you if you need to copy and paste any specific character, or you can even see the little definition right there on the same page with it. So I think that's better. It's not perfect, certainly. You said that the OCR is not 100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of the nature of this. It's not going to be perfect.
Right. Even in the method I was doing, mm-hmm. sometimes I notice, like, it misread a kanji, especially with things like kanji. They're so complex, right? And depending on the quality of the PDF you get, it might look more garbled. And then the screen, what is it, OCR tool might mm-hmm. not be able to parse it. For some reason, this one that you're using really likes to insert exclamation marks when there aren't any. It's done that multiple times. But yeah, as long as you look at it, you have to make sure to check. It's fine. And you can very easily turn it off so you can view the original image, turn it on to show the text, or then also turn off and on your browser extension that will show you the readings. Sometimes I copy paste, as I mentioned, and go to a more in-depth dictionary if I'm looking for more info on a word. So it's very helpful. Very helpful to be all right there on my computer screen. No photos required. It's definitely a lot easier, and I appreciate it. I also think it's super cool that this is all self-hosted thing you did. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very fun. And we just like, you know, I was saying I did with Google Translate on my phone, you could take any photo, right, of something mm-hmm. and put it in this and read it. And you mentioned that it was built for manga, but it does read other text fine. I've been using mm-hmm. it for things that aren't manga. So yeah. it can handle whatever, I think.
Yeah. So I thought it was very cool. If anyone is interested in doing something like this, you can just literally go to the Mangaton GitHub. They have like just an exe file you can download that will set up the vast majority of this for you. But just, you know, as I looked into it, it just confuses me because it's not literally just a thing called Mangaton. There's multiple servers under the hood. As I said, I had to run two, one for OCR and one for the website. But either way, there is an easier way to do it. I just wanted to do it my way.
Oh, my way or the highway, Marcus says. Well, it worked out, so good job. Now, we don't really have any news we want to talk about this week, so we're going to skip over that and move into some stuff we've been watching and playing. First of all, you are continuing to play some stuff after getting a bunch of things from the Steam sale, winter yes. sale, I guess. So I think I kind of was like, hey, I really want you to play this one because it looks cute, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the games I bought on the Steam sale was called Easy Delivery
Company, I think, yeah.
And it looks cute because it's got like this retro kind of like polygonal aesthetic and like a PS1 or N64 type game.
Yeah, very Animal Crossing-y look to yeah. it. At least the characters.
The characters, and there's like, you know, it's not infinite draw distance. It's yeah. like, you know, foggy out in the distance type of thing. Obviously, but it's a modern game, of course. And it's kind of like, what if you were an Amazon delivery driver, but a little bit cuter? Because it doesn't have as all of the horrible things that are associated with that.
And it's like business to business rather than big corporation to individuals, mm-hmm. right? Because you go to like a business and yeah. pick something up and yeah. then go to another business.
But it still has shades of like that.
Yeah, certainly like
the bad side.
Oh yeah,
and maybe that
and it's
will
almost
kind of
like a Uber delivery, Uber yeah. Eats kind of thing yeah. feel to it. Yeah, the way yeah. you take jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like so you start out in a little town and you take jobs that will say, you know, pick up something from this location and bring it to this location. And that is a lot of what the game is. That's how you make your money. You have other systems, though, like you have an energy meter, which you can top up by drinking energy drinks or making yourself coffee or tea. But all that costs money mm-hmm. and whatnot. So it's and you can't buy canned coffee. You got to make your coffee yourself, which requires buying other things to do so. Anyway, but it's got a little bit of narrative there as well. There's like quests aside from delivering things that help you kind of learn more about the world and the characters. But a lot of it is the delivery driving between the towns. I think it's cute. I think it's a little harder than I expected, which is funny.
Yeah, because it's called easy. Mm-hmm, don't worry.
Mainly because it's not like you die and it's the end of the game. Like if I kind of froze once and then it just brought me back. But it does kind of require you to take care of the character's health. If their energy runs out, you can't really proceed. And so that was mainly my sticking point. It's like, I got to do all this stuff to make a coffee or something. So I'll stay warm and energized longer to do other things, but I don't want to, I just want to drive. I just want to like chill out type of thing. So I don't know if I'll finish this game, but it's, you know, it's neat. I like the aesthetic, certainly. I like most of it.
I thought you didn't like the fact that there's a map, but it doesn't show where you are on the map. So
I don't like that either.
It's kind of hard to figure out. I think because it's really about the driving, maybe it's trying to be a little realistic, where it's like back in the day when you didn't have cell phones, right? You would have a paper map, and then you would look at the map and have to figure out where to go. Like, it's very much that vibe. But a lot of it looks very similar because it's just you're in this barren, snowy landscape. And so it's very hard to kind of triangulate where you are. And then all the roads look kind of similar. And you're like, I need to get over to this town, but where am I? Mm-hmm. You know.
And all the places are the same. All the stores have the same name.
Yeah, so each town has the same stores or some configuration of the same name. So like you have the pizza place? The name
Easy
is yeah, Easy Pizza. They're all Easy, whatever. Or the like flower shop. Mm-hmm. They're all the same in every town. So.
And I mean, that's part of the narrative and whatnot. But it's like, and I'm already bad at directions in real life and video games. So it definitely causes issues for me. And a lot of the towns have similar names. And I'm like, where are we going? East and West and what? It's doable because there's a fair amount of signposts around that tell you where to go. And you can look at the map at any time. But yeah, it's tricky for me for that as well, just because I'm not good at directions. I'm sure like someone who was really paying attention to the game could probably remember, okay, I go through here to here to here to get to there. But it's like me, I'm just like, what? Where am I going?
So, bad game for people who are directionally challenged, Marcus. But very cute. I don't think you mentioned that you drive a K car either.
A
little Japanese car. It's so adorable. And you can go into like the, what do you call it? The front seat view.
Like first person
view. Yeah, first person view, but you get the little HUD of the car and you can get little decorations for like bobbleheads for the K car. Or you do the third-person view where you just see the car and drive around. So that's very cute. And then, as I mentioned, the characters all look like little Animal Crossing characters, but it's pretty morose vibes. Like, everything's kind of dreary, and the overarching narrative threads seem to be a bit somber in that, like, it seems like the story is about this big corporation that came in and kind of wiped out the area and like took over everything, and now a lot of people have moved out and all the charm is gone and all that. But definitely cute from that perspective of the graphics and the character designs and the little conversations they have, and they make the little like Animal Crossing like meep 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 sounds, and it's very cute. So I keep wanting you to play it, but I can see how it's frustrating, especially with the energy. Maybe they just want to have some sense of their stakes, but I don't really know that a game needs that. Like, you're just driving around making deliveries. They could have just had that, and or at least have an option to turn off the energy being an issue. Then that would be fine. But still cute. I think that's the only game we've been playing, or a video game, I should say.
Yep.
We have been playing some Magic the Gathering, real nerds now. But we played Magic the Gathering Commander mode with a friend of mine months ago. And he's been going on about it for ages, saying, hey, you gotta try this. Like, I played Magic. Well, both of us played Magic in high school, right? So that would have been standard because that's all they had back then. And we've all, why do we keep saying that?
I don't know.
All of us, all two of us have kept our decks So we still have all of our old decks from high school, or at least some amount of Magic cards from back when we played as kids. So I can still play the original game. But at some point, I honestly don't know. I don't think it's that new anymore. But at some point, they introduced this mode called Commander. So for folks who don't know, I'll just briefly talk about it. Magic the Gathering usually is a 1v1 game. You have a deck of, like, I think 60 cards. And then you can have up to, I believe, 4 copies of the same card. So maybe more like, in my mind, a little bit more like Lorcana or maybe Pokemon. I'm actually not sure of the card limits in Pokemon, but you're going versus somebody, one person, and trying to take them out. In the case of Magic, you're trying to kill the person, and then they're summoning their, you know, monsters and things to fight you. In Commander mode, the deck is standard, I think, is 100 cards. You can only have one of each card, so you can't have duplicates. And you have one commander, which is a legendary creature that the whole deck is kind of themed around, and your commander always sits separate to your deck. So in the regular card game, much like most card games, I think you have to, like, draw cards, and then what you draw is your hand, and you hope for the good cards to come out, and then you play them. But in commander mode, you've got your commander kind of sitting to the side, and their ability will be really important because it kind of impacts how everything you do plays, whereas it's not like you're waiting to bring out a card. You have that card ready to go at all the time, and you kind of build the deck around it. But you can buy pre-made commander decks, and my understanding is this is a very popular way to play now, also because it is, I think it allows up to 4 players, or maybe as many as you want. I'm honestly not sure. Like, I don't see why you couldn't do more. So you might sit at a table with your friends. You each have your commander deck, and then you just choose who you want to attack. Mm-hmm. So you could gang up on people or do whatever. We played 3 players with my friend, and he taught us how to play it. So if you already have kind of an idea of how Magic works, if you've played the game before like we have a general understanding of it, it's relatively easy to then play Commander, because you just take what you know about the game and tweak it a little. Whereas if you were learning from scratch, I think it would be a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, Magic is very complicated anyway, I feel. And there are tons of new, like, abilities and things. So we have, like, literally the terminology page on the official website open. So when we see a card with some new ability, like, I can't even think of one that we saw, but some weird names come up, and then we're like, okay, well, what's that? And then I gotta look at the website. Mm-hmm. But overall, same general idea of how to play applies. So we had a lot of fun playing with my friend, and I've been thinking about getting commander decks for a while. You can, of course, build your own, but that's kind of a lot of work. So I looked up what decks people kind of recommend, and also what ones looked fun and cute to me. So we got one is the Bloomburrow Family Matters set. Bloomburrow is a super cute set from, I believe, 2024, and it has lots of animals. So if you like Redwall, I think everybody compares it to the Redwall series of novels, where they're all like little squirrels and mice and badgers, and they're humanoid, like anthropomorphic, and they talk and they fight each other, and they have like bows and arrows and things. It's basically like that. Bloomburrow is like Redwall but Magic. So this is a set that is themed around a heron who's a bard. It's a blue, red, and white colored deck, and then the heron summons like lots of little 1/1 creatures. So it's like you flood the board with a ton of little guys and attack with them. Then over the weekend we got the Tarkir Dragonstorm Abzan Armor deck for Marcus to play with. It's a white, black, and green deck, and that one's themed around dragons and very defensive focused, but not defensive in the way I thought it was. It's like the main commander character, their ability makes it so all of the character's defensive number is actually their attack number, right?
Yes.
So it's built, all the cards in the deck, if they were just being used normally, have shitty attack and really good defense, right? But that character makes them swap effectively, right? It's So that's pretty cool. So basically, we've been playing that a little bit, and you've been whooping me every time. And I don't know if it's your deck is just really good or I suck or...
I think it's luck.
It's luck, and maybe my deck isn't well-suited to fight against your deck.
Maybe.
But it's a lot of fun. I like it. I think I just like Magic in general, but this is fun. I think because it's nice to like have it themed around one character, and you kind of get to be like, yeah, this cool character, he's here, and I get to see him and, you know, use it. Whereas your other decks, you can't really be so precious about one character because, or one card, because you don't know whether you're going to get that card, right? So you have to have decks that have multiple ways to win. I mean, obviously these do too, right? Like you had, we had two games yesterday, and it was really funny how different they were. Because in the second game, you had this life-gaining thing going on where, like, every time you dealt damage to me, you gained life. And then also,
if I gained more than... If I gained enough life, which I did, I would decrement your life.
Yeah, you would damage me again. It was, like, a couple cards that worked together to do that. But that never happened the first time we played that deck. So it was, like, a completely different round. That was very funny. And also sad for me. But yeah, so I'm having fun. What do you think? How are you feeling about it?
I think it's fun. I like Magic. I like card games in general, so it's fun. And I'm glad that we got another deck so we can try Commander on our own. It makes me want to look at other Commander decks, though, now, so watch out.
I will say, so the Commander decks are like, I think the base price is like 40-ish. That seems to be like the standard price if they aren't highly sought after. But I was looking at the Final Fantasy set that they released last year because I'm a little curious. You know, I like Final Fantasy. And they had a couple Commander decks, and all those are like retailing now from like $70 or $60 and some even more than that. So it's like based on the desirability of the decks, they can increase in value quite a bit. It's not resale market. Maybe it is. I don't know, actually. Now that I think, you know, it's because we bought it at retail. We bought them new. So I don't know if the retailers price up the value because they're so desired, or if it's literally they're out of stock. And
I don't know.
I'm not going to think too hard about it. Anyway, the moral of the story is you can spend a lot of money on these. And you can also build your own. Like, you could take any legendary creature you want and build your own deck around it. You can also modify the Commander decks that you buy, the standard ones. So you could like take the deck I have and swap in a few cards and maybe make it a little more powerful. So you could buy singles and do, you know, soup them up that way. But there are a lot of different Commander decks out there, and I could definitely see getting a few more pre-built ones just to play around with. And there's even a new Magic set coming out next week, and they say the Commander set looks pretty good for that one. So who knows? We might come back in 2 weeks and be like, oh, we've got 5 Commander decks now. Uh-oh, watch out. Okay, and then finally, we watched a couple things. So one, DNF included.
Yes. Yes, so we started to watch a movie from Vinegar Syndrome's Blu-rays called Curse of the Screaming Dead. I think it had a different name, too.
Yes, I forgot. It had, like, a couple names. But, we just call it Confederate Zombies.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, I guess, a movie about some youths who are out and stumble upon a Confederate Army graveyard, and then zombies come out and something. But it's so boring. The acting is terrible. You said, well, we can watch until the zombies appear. And they didn't appear for like 50 minutes.
Yeah. And then I was like, we wasted our lives watching this. It was so bad. And yeah, we stopped it, finally they appeared, and then we were like, well, that's it. And it was like 3/4 of the way through the movie.
Yeah, so very much not to our tastes. I think maybe the first movie we haven't finished together because of that purpose, not because like we got busy and forgot about it or something, but because we didn't like it at all. It was horrible. There was no redeeming value in our opinions. You know, that happens sometimes. That can happen. And it gives you perspective that there are some really terrible movies out there. So when you're watching something to, you know, it's, you can see, okay. And especially as we've been watching a lot of Vinegar Syndrome stuff, you know, we can watch something and be like, it had a coherent plot. Yeah. It had some fun characters or whatever. Okay, not bad.
Yep. I think it's really funny. You keep joking about, like, we'll see reviews for pretty mainstream movies and people say, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. And you would tell me, like, oh, they haven't seen anything then. And now I know that now I will always compare everything to the Confederate zombie movie and be like, well, it wasn't that bad. You know, because, well, Confederate zombie movie had a plot, but it was just so drawn out and slow. And it's like they wanted this to be a horror movie, but it was so boring. All the characters were horrible, but horrible in a way like the acting was bad, but also they were written in a way that everybody was just shitty to each other and seemed like they all hated each other. So it's like, why are you going on this camping trip together? And why are we spending all this time listening to you argue with each other? Like, they're boyfriends and girlfriends. There was one scene. They've also got a girl who is, the character is supposed to be blind, but I don't think they got an actress who is blind to play her. I did like that they got two Japanese women, and so they actually comment about some Japanese cultural thing in the story. That shocked me because the story was so incompetent that I'm like, why are you talking about like Japanese burial sites? But that was interesting. That was like the one interesting thing. But like, so the sister of the girl who is blind is like so unbelievably mean to her. She's like, get your own bathing suit. And it's like, the girl can't find it. Like, it's horrible. Like, you assume they grew up together. Like, why are you so mean to her? And then they all are there with their partners, but the partners are all just so mean to each other. So this guy is in the tent with the girl who is blind, and she's like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, I'm reading, go away. She's like, oh, well, tell me about what you're reading. No, I don't want to tell you. Now I'm tired. And it's like, why are we even focusing on these kids being horrible to each other for so much of the movie? There's no attention. And I know that, you know, horror movies often will make characters unlikable. So it's fun to watch them die, or you feel like some kind of like, haha, they got what was coming to them. So maybe if you had made it far enough where the zombies actually started attacking them, you would feel that way. But it was all so badly done, I don't think any of it would have been any fun. And yeah, it just spent so long ramping up. It gave the feeling of, we don't have enough budget to do the effects of the zombies, so we need to pad the film with other things. Like, there was a good 5-minute long scene of this guy standing in the Confederate graveyard looking around. But it was just the camera, like, panning at gravestones. There wasn't anything spooky or ominous about it. I hope I'm painting a picture of how utterly boring this film was. This is so bad. So, yes, when people say, like, oh, Spider-Man 3 was the worst movie I ever saw, but that had a budget and a storyline and, you know, some amount of acting, like, yeah, definitely changes your perspective on things for sure. So now I can say that, you know, even, what was that horrible movie we saw about the fetus or the baby?
The Suckling.
Yeah, The Suckling was bad, but I still finished it. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, there's a whole range.
Well, that was because that was weird.
But it was, yeah, you can have bad that's like weird and fun and how bad it is. Mm-hmm. This wasn't even fun. So yeah, definitely one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
If not the worst in terms of enjoyment, you know.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, that thus is the way with Vinegar Syndrome and working through your backlog. And we got another pretty good one that we've decided to keep from that lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that movie is called Arnold. And I don't remember what year it's from. The 70s, I think.
Yeah, it was early 70s, I think.
Yeah, so 70s movie. And it's like, I guess you could call it a horror comedy.
Yeah, I think that's how they bill it.
Or a black comedy, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it's about this woman who marries this wealthy man who has just died. And
I think you need to explain that a bit better. You don't.
What about it?
The man dies and she marries him after he's dead.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Okay. He's dead and she marries him.
Okay. I don't know if that came across.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And then, like, the rule or whatever is that, well, they'll be together forever. Right. And not till he dies, because he's already dead.
Yes.
So I guess till she dies, she's got to be with him.
Yes. And this is all because he created, it's his will or something. Mm-hmm. So his will is that she has to keep him in the house, right?
Yeah, but then she'll get, like, all of his riches and
right.
stuff.
Right, and he's by a rich doing guy. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so out of the gate, it was very funny because the movie basically starts with the wedding ceremony in the graveyard
mm-hmm.
and a song playing where I guess the wife is singing about marrying Arnold and how good it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, ooh, is this a musical? It was not a musical, but the song is fun.
A bespoke song about how happy we will be forever, eternally, Arnold. Yeah.
So that was cool. It set the scene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I thought it was fun because it's kind of like it becomes like a murder mystery
mm-hmm.
because the different family members, it's, you know, it's that very common storyline. All the family members want the riches, right? Mm-hmm. And they have all got pieces or something or nothing of it. But everyone wants everything, you know, mm-hmm. they don't want just their little piece. And then slowly the family starts dying off and you're like, well, who's doing it? Mm-hmm. And why does it seem like the dead man knows about all that's happening after he's already dead and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's very fun, very silly, stupid movie, but it's fun. I like it.
It was fun. It was good. And it's British too. Mm-hmm. We don't watch a whole lot of British movies, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
There was some good supporting characters like the constable or the, you know, the policeman who he appears at everything because I guess it's a small town and, you know, it's the rich family in town. So he's always there every time everyone dies. And even at the beginning when Arnold dies, and he just makes a lot of really funny comments. And him and the, you know, yards keeper are talking about the marriage. And they're very confused about how this man could get married after he was already dead. And they're like mm-hmm. trying to explain it to each other. And it's just so silly. And there's like the local bar that they go to with some randomly really buxty kind of German coded, you know, like barmaid mm-hmm. there, and lots of weirdness, lots of silliness, mm-hmm. lots of silly deaths. All of the deaths were extremely dumb and weird, and it made you think that they were supernatural, at least some of them, because of the way they played out was not really realistic or like mm-hmm. a real way to kill someone, but then, you know, is it? And yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad there wasn't more singing.
Yeah, I wish there was. That would have made it even better.
Yeah, but still worth keeping.
Yes,
which we shall. So there you go, both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
one that didn't even get finished and one that will stay in the collection. And with that, that brings us to the end of episode 119 of Pixel Pixel. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far, and we shall see you again in 2 weeks.